Mary Jo Foley is here in the city, taking in all the sights and sounds of the city and the conference. But I actually asked her to be here to sort of continue the conversation that we started last month with Richard Campbell in terms of the developer opportunity. And what does the developer opportunity mean, in case you didn't have a chance to see last month's episode, is really talking about all these things about change. Everything is changing, so much new stuff. New hardware, new software, new products.
Yes.
Everything new. Anyway, so Richard was talking about, there's those who are all for it, they're right out of the gate, they're like, yeah, you know what, I'm there, I want to play with all the nice and shiny stuff. Then there are also the others that are a little bit hesitant. They're like, yeah, it's really cool, I like to watch it, I'm not quite sure if I'm there. Kind of on the fence. And then you have all of the people on the other end that are actually just downright afraid, and downright afraid of change. So Richard kind of gave us his opinion of change, and what I wanted to do was get your opinion of change, right? You're out there in the field, you're talking to everyone, businesses, developers, architects. But where do you start? Like, what are some of the main themes that you're hearing?
I think your point on change is right on, because I feel like there's two camps of people I talk to. There's people, like you said, who are super excited. They're like, yeah, this is a new platform. It looks awesome. I'm on board. And then there are the people who are like, I like things the way it is.
Right.
And I want to keep it the way it is. And I don't want to learn the new platform. I already learned .NET, or I already learned Silverlight. I don't want to learn something else. And with Windows 8, the part that gets glossed over a lot, I think, is you don't have to learn something else.
I'm glad you brought that up.
because so many people say, I don't want to use C++. Okay, well, you have a choice. You don't have to use it. It's
Right.
kind of like what Microsoft's ideal goal might be, I feel like. If we had the perfect world, we'd love to have more C++ developers. But if you don't want to use that, you don't have to. And I think that message gets lost a lot because you hear people saying, I don't want to learn something new. Well, you can use what you have.
Right.
You already have the tools to do applications for phones, even for Windows Phone 8 and for Windows 8. You already know this and have it. So
So what is the industry though thinking about all this change when it relates to developers? Like, is it drumming up a lot of excitement into yes, new developers into the marketplace, or is it more like we need to encourage our existing developer base to upgrade their skills? What's it like from an industry perspective?
I think there needs to be more, not more excitement, but more people seeing what other people are doing.
Okay.
I was telling you earlier, at the Worldwide Partner Conference here, that one of the big themes has been Windows 8 is not just a consumer platform. Because a lot of the things we've seen people demo and show off so far are games and, Xbox Live and those kind of apps. And I think a lot of business developers are saying, yeah, great, but I don't want to write a game. So I feel like there hasn't been quite as much kind of show and tell yet about what is possible for business developers.
Okay.
But at this conference, there's a lot of kind of underground percolating excitement about that. I was mentioning to you too that I've been getting these messages on Twitter and email from people who know I'm here in Toronto, and they said, I've got a business app that no one's seen for Windows 8 yet. Do you want to come and see it?
Right.
So I feel like, if we get people to see some of these, they may say, oh, it's not just a toy, it's a real platform. There's going to be real line of business apps. People already have done the proof of concepts, and they're a lot closer, I think, to getting these out to customers than we all have realized.
Are you getting that a lot from developers that they think Windows 8 is kind of more of a toy than it is really useful?
Not so much the platform, but more because of the apps that we've seen.
The Metro
The
apps.
new Metro style apps that are developed around the WinRT APIs. What
Right.
we've seen in all the demos and in the store, they're mostly consumer focused apps.
True.
And people, who are business users said, well, what about me? Like, I have an HR app that I only want to deploy internally.
Yeah, or like a point of
Right.
sale system.
Yeah, right. And they want to see their apps in a Metro style. Like, what is possible, I think. And Microsoft showed off during one of the keynotes. I've seen this demo once before, but I think a lot of partners who are here hadn't seen it. They showed some prototypes of what Dynamics CRM and ERP could look like if they were done as nice. Metro-style apps. And I heard people actually gasp in the audience, like,
why not?
That's ERP. So I think there needs to be more of that. Like, I don't think people's minds have really kind of expanded yet to think, like, what would it mean if I did a Metro-style app for a business?
Now, if they were thinking along those lines, what are some of the recommendations or some of the uses that you're seeing that they can come back and say, yeah, there's my business case?
Yeah. I think the key and what's being emphasized here is do a proof of concept first. Like, get, because there's a lot of partner money out there to fund proof of concepts.
Okay.
And so Microsoft's saying, hey, if you have a cool idea or something you just want to see, what does it look like? We have funding for this. And if you contact us, we'll help you like get this going, and we'll bring you into Microsoft, and we'll show you how to do this. We'll even, you know, give you time and attention and help.
For partners. Yeah.
And so that, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, know those funds are available.
Got it.
And I think if they did know, they'd be like, oh, now it's worth my time to actually try to do a proof of concept app and see what might happen.
And what are all these different proof of concepts and these changes, if you will, doing to a developer's career? Like, what are they telling you in that? You know, is it actually doing it, or is this just, yeah, another one of those things on the checklist? Okay, good, I'm
yeah.
done.
I think, again, people fall into two camps. There's people who feel like, I've learned enough, and I'm not taking any more time to learn more things. Like, if I can do it with what I have and know, great. And then I talked to some other developers, especially some of the guys who've been to, like, the Build conference last year for Windows 8, or who are doing some of the new apps for Windows Phone 8, and they're excited, actually, because they are like, you know, I've always wanted to try to do an app in HTML5. Like, can I? And I don't know it, but can I learn it? You know, and there's those people too. So I feel like there's kind of a mix. The ones who I hear from most vocally are the ones who don't want change.
Right.
Those are the ones like, you know, what was wrong with VB6? I love VB6.
I love how VB6 always comes up.
Doesn't it?
VB6 came up last month also.
Did it?
That was the exact example that Richard used.
Yeah. I mean, because those guys, they're a very vocal contingent, just like the FoxPro guys, right? I hear from FoxPro guys all the time. And so, you know, there are those people who are like, I've done my Microsoft learning, and I'm done. And if I can use what I've got, great. And if I can't, then I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to support the old platforms, and that's it.
But surely, though, with all this change, employers are
looking for those people.
Right?
Yeah, you would think so, right? I think it's a little early on the Windows 8 cusp for employers to actually be putting out ads going, hey, we need somebody who can develop an app for us for Windows 8.
Right.
I feel like there still needs to be a little more developer education around Windows 8 from Microsoft, like in a big forum.
Okay.
You know, like something so people who have been on the fence can say to their boss, you know, I want to go to this big conference, Build 2.0 or whatever. Just making this up, people. if there were such an event, which I have no knowledge and there's been no confirmation that there is, I think that would get a lot of people off the fence because
right.
I think they've heard about it, they've read about it, but to actually go to one of these conferences that are kind of like the old PDCs, you know, and really hear from Microsoft, the experts who built Windows
yep.
8, right? Who the people who built the operating system are helping you figure out how to do an app.
But if I was one of those developers, though, and let's say there were said conference,
yeah.
what should I be looking for? Like what... Yes, it's great to look at all the new features and mm-hmm. whatever, but if I'm looking at this and saying, yeah, you know what, I want to differentiate myself as a developer in the marketplace,
yep.
I'm going to go to this conference, or I'm going to go
right.
to one of the conferences mm-hmm. that I'd mentioned, you know, Prairie Dev Con, mm-hmm. DevTeach, SDEC.
Yep.
What am I looking for? Or what are you hearing mm-hmm. or recommending that I should look for?
You know, the thing that people ask me a lot about... And I should preface this with, I am not a developer, so I can't really give
Yet you
hand.
Talk to developers and IT pros and architects every day.
I do. So
every day.
I play a developer on the internet, I like to tell people.
There you go.
That's
one way to look at it.
I don't try to pretend I'm a developer, but you know, what people say to me a lot is, I really need more and I want to know more about WinRT.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So this is the API that is key to the Metro experience. And now that Microsoft's also having the Metro experience on Windows Phone with Windows Phone 8, it's like your pool of knowledge is going to be much more applicable to a bigger set of things.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people say, okay, now I understand. Microsoft's doing WinRT with phones and with PCs. So if I take the time to learn this and I get really good at developing Metro-style apps and can really take advantage of some of the things built into the platform, you know, like all the new sharing contracts and all the things that are kind of under the covers in Windows 8 and coming to phone, I think they feel as though they have a much broader kind of skill set that's positioning them for the future.
Now, of course, that changes then the traditional developer, right? Because actually, if you guys remember a couple of episodes back when we had Sue Vardy on the show, mm-hmm. she was talking about how many developers do themselves a disjustice by saying, hey, I'm a phone developer.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, well, if you're a phone developer, it also applies to all of these other things.
Yeah.
So it actually, the developer mentality now changes to say, I'm a developer on this platform, I guess, right? Is that the best way to...
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt as though there were people who I knew as phone developers and people who I knew as PC developers.
Right.
Never
and then
the
you have
two
the web developers
meet.
Somewhere in the middle there.
Right, the web developers. And now it feels like people who always kind of identified themselves as, I'm a phone developer, are now saying, oh, maybe I could do an app for Windows 8.
Right.
And it's like, oh, maybe that wouldn't be so hard as it used to be when there were all different versions of .NET on different platforms.
True.
And, you know, you had to, like, be a rocket scientist to, like, know about every possible combination.
So I think what you're saying then... If we take a common theme out of all of that, is what you're seeing is simplicity.
Right, definitely. And that's the goal, I think. Today at the partner conference, Kevin Turner, who's the chief operating officer at Microsoft, he showed this one slide that was great. It had the phone, the PC, and the TV, and all three running Metro. And he's like, okay, so this is your platform now, right? This is one thing. I mean, It's a little bit of an oversimplification yet to say because
that's the roadmap. Though.
That's the roadmap. And before now, that wasn't the roadmap. It was like if you knew phone, you were in one world. If you knew Xbox, you were in a different world, right? And you really just had to kind of pick and choose which platform you wanted to make your centerpiece. And I think the idea is, I feel like it's too oversimplified to say write once, run anywhere, but... other companies say that, but but you know the idea that you could at least take a lot of your code and reuse it is something I hear people saying isn't as far-fetched as it used to be.
Got it. And now when we're looking at all of these things and you know, in come the web developers who technically were out of the two worlds to begin with, now all of a sudden a web developer writing a Windows 8 application is now possible.
Right.
Right, all the more reason now why this idea of saying, "Hey, I'm a phone developer, I'm a client developer," gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Now, do you think it's gone like now, or do you think it's gone like we're getting there?
We're getting there. I think we're getting there.
What do you think in like two, 3 years?
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, people have to get first for Windows Phone 8, you have to get the SDK, which people don't have yet.
Right.
Get to play around with that and see, you know, how hard is it once I do an app for that platform to take it to Windows 8 or vice versa. I talk to people who are doing the opposite.
Okay.
I've developed a Windows 8 app and wow, I'd love to make that a phone app. How hard is that going to be?
Nice.
Yeah. So I think people are kind of just at the point right now of getting their minds wrapped around this, and I think in the next couple years there'll be more of a push to really get people on board. And the platforms will actually be shipping then, so there'll be more incentive as a developer to write to these things that people are buying.
Plus, I mean, from a market perspective, too, pretty much every application now comes out on all of these different platforms, right?
It does.
So it's almost like if you're not considering that, it's kind of like you're again pegging yourself into one camp and you're done.
It's true.
Now, let's look at it from a different angle and thinking about the developer themselves in terms of I had a thought of where I was going with that.
You get derailed.
I got derailed. Interesting. Oh, yes, I was going to ask you. Okay. So we have these developers that by day,
right,
I code, that's my job, I get paid to code, that's all I do all week.
Right.
Now I'm seeing this trend now, and hopefully you're seeing the same, is that same developer who's working on, using your example, VB6 during the day. Not that we're making fun of VB6 developers.
No.
But I do whatever I do during the day. Mm-hmm. But now I have this other side of me, mm-hmm. my hobbyist side of me, doing these things regardless of my job.
Yeah.
Right? And potentially we might be starting a small business out of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you're seeing actually happening more and more?
I think it's... I see it a bit, but I think it could take off bigger. You know, one of the first places I saw that, and it's kind of predictable, I guess, is at Microsoft in Redmond. They were encouraging a lot of their own developers who work on Windows to do in their free time.
Of course, now she's bringing up the fact that I haven't built my Windows 8 app yet, but that's fine.
But the people were doing it, and I kept getting... pings from different people at Microsoft said, you know, I know you know me as a System Center guy, but I just did this photo app. Would you like to try it out? So people are trying things like that. And I think they're just trying to see, like, how hard is it? Like, can I do it? Is it so easy even I could do it, you know?
And it's something that really should be encouraged.
It should be.
I certainly haven't come across any employer, and probably you haven't either, that have ever said, hey...
No apps in your free time.
Yeah, don't code in your
right,
free time.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I know certainly, like you said, at Microsoft, but a lot of Canadian partners that I work with are also saying the same thing. It's like, hey guys, just go and try it out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is because once you go and you try this stuff out on your own, that's technically something that you could bring back into the organization.
It is. I was having dinner with a guy who I know is an Azure partner. And
she said Azure.
Did I say it wrong?
No. It's just every show that I do, the audience knows that every time the word Azure or cloud comes up, my ears perk. It's like, what? Where?
Oh, Azure? So I was having dinner with this guy, and, you know, we were talking about Azure, and his job is in the day to sell Azure. You know, he's a field guy. And then so we're talking, he goes, you know, by the way, in my free time, I have made this app. Do you want to see it? It's like for Windows Phone. And I'm like, yeah, you know. So I think you're right. It is something that people are, he even said, I've never developed a phone app before.
And then what did he say? Was it hard? Was it simple?
He's like, I just did it. Like, not, it didn't take me that long. And he's like, I was in a place at Microsoft and I was working on it. And a guy's like, what do you got there? So
there you go.
Yeah, it was some kind of a, I think it was something about filing your expense reports. So it wasn't a fun app, but it was like he did it on the side because he's like, I think this could be a big deal.
Well, I mean, the truth is, and I think all of you guys can agree, expenses and timesheets.
You're right.
Are the two apps that someone has to somehow figure out.
They do. And whoever does is going to make a lot of money, right?
Well, I mean, and TFS has great functionality for that. Mm-hmm. Just a small...
aside.
You know, small aside there. But at the end of the day, does that usually feed into the HR systems?
Right. Not so much. Right.
Not so much. Hey, let's take a quick break here and actually check if anyone has posted any questions on... the chat. Oh, not yet. Hey guys, just a reminder, hello, live show, by all means, post your questions. We're going to check every once in a while because obviously it's going to be distracting having it here in front of our face flashing, but we can talk for hours, but if there's something that you specifically want to know, let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's flip over now to talking about you.
Okay.
And what you are hearing. Right. So far you've sort of, you've been talking about what you've been hearing and what people are telling you, but what are they asking you? Right. Because every time there's a new announcement or every time there's something new, obviously you're always there.
Right.
I mean, that's what you love doing. That's what you do.
It is.
What are the questions that are coming up to you? Like, what are people saying to you about all this new stuff?
Well, the number one question I'm getting lately, I'd say in the past week or two, well, the first one is, when is the next build conference? Everyone wants to know that, and I always have to say, I don't know. But the second question that's been coming up is, have you gotten to try the Surface? And what do you really think of it?
Ah.
And I didn't get to go to the Surface announcement when they had that big unveiling, so I didn't actually get hands-on time with it. They told us too close to the event, so I couldn't go. But everything I've read and seen about the Surface, I'm like, I want one. I want one.
Which, again, Surface.com, you have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, and the reason I really loved it when I saw it was I'm somebody who, I've been kind of on the fence myself about Windows 8. I write about it, that's my job and all, but I've been like, you know, I don't see any hardware out there that I really am dying to buy when this thing comes out.
By the way, folks, intimate and interactive with Mary Jo Ford, there you go. Yes, so, that's what you're really thinking.
But when I saw the Surface, it solved a problem that I think I'm not the only one who has, which is I want something that's a PC and a tablet.
Ah.
I want a device that is really awesome for work, that I also can take with me and has a great keyboard, but it's thin and light and has amazing battery, although we don't know the battery yet. That's my one big, like, what's that going to be? But that's why I was sold, because Microsoft has continuously said PCs and tablets are the same thing. But I never really bought into that until I saw this. And I'm like, that's what they meant. It's that. Because it looks like a tablet. It has all the things that you think of as a tablet, you know, ability to use touch and all that. But because of those cool keyboards that you're going to be able to snap in, it's a PC too.
There we go.
So I think when people saw there was not just going to be new software coming, but really different hardware, I think that got a lot of people excited.
And then different hardware changes things.
It does. Because, you know, a tablet, it's as much about the hardware as it is about the software.
True.
And PCs, that's not necessarily true. PCs are kind of like your workhorse, to me, anyways. It's like, you know, it's a thing you carry around. You might call it a status symbol if you're a Mac guy. I'm not a Mac person, but, you know, how much you spent on your PC, is it like all souped up? Some people think that's awesome, but for me, a tablet is much more about, like, this is my experience, and I'm really connected to this experience. And so I saw a lot of tablets that they were showing throughout the beginning of the year, and I was like, yeah, they're okay. They're all me too. And there's nothing, like, really making me go, I'm ready to put my money down.
Right.
And other people have said the same. You know, they're like, okay, now that we've seen the Surface, now I'm way more excited about working on Windows 8.
So the hardware changes, but then that also changes the nature of apps.
It does.
Right, because now we used to build apps for, I guess you could say, consumption.
Yep.
Apps for production.
Right.
And now it's kind of
like... Those were like two things, right? Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many of you guys have seen the Manager Tech Talk episode that we did with Mary Jo and with Ruth, but in that episode, you called yourself your own ecosystem.
Did I?
You did. Right, because we were talking about apps, and we were talking about how you wanted specific apps on the phone, and you were talking about your Met app on your to have it local apps,
right.
And you're like, hey, I'm my own ecosystem, and I need to be able to work these things. Has that changed, or will it change with all of these, you know, with Windows 8, with hardware coming in, some of the hardware that you saw coming out? From Tammy's keynote on the first day of WPC.
Well, you know what I think a lot of people are going to start thinking about what is an app differently, because there's going to be apps that are, you know, third-party apps like we've always had them, and then there's going to be things that are way more tightly integrated with the operating system, both from Microsoft and from other people.
Right.
And that, to me, it's almost like it's redefining what is an app.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like before you thought of app. Some little thing, almost like an applet, right? You download it, you use it sometimes.
Performs a function.
It performs a function.
Good to go.
But then, like, okay, Skype, Skype is, to me, a really good example. So Skype's not going to be built into Windows Phone 8, Microsoft has said. But it's going to be so tightly integrated that a lot of things are going to light up because you built to that platform. And Windows 8's going to be like that, too. Like some of the early apps we've seen, people who actually take advantage of the charms, the contracts, you know, it's like, okay, this is a whole different kind of an experience. It's not like just some app I might call up once or twice and forget I even have it on my device.
Right.
So I think the idea of what an app is and how often you interact with it and how you interact with it is going to be something that changes a lot, and I think gets people a little more loyal to what they've got.
For sure, and I think then if we're thinking about it that way, that is the developer opportunity.
Right.
Right. True. To go in and get those apps before everyone else does.
Right, exactly.
right? Because the marketplace is going to go to however many apps on both the Windows 8 store and the Windows Phone marketplace.
Yeah.
If you're not in there from the get-go,
right,
you're missing that opportunity.
It's true. Yeah. So I think for now I still am kind of doing apps the same way I always have. Like, yeah, I got a few apps, but I don't really go out and actively look for new apps. But I feel like if the apps were more integral to my experience, I might seek them out more.
And integral both on the specific device, but also across all of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you start using, you know, a certain app on your phone, like if you download the Bing app for the phone, and then you also get to use it on your tablet, that's like then you start kind of getting used to that, and you always are looking for it, you know. Like I put the Bing app on my iPad. I have an iPad. Can I say that on the show?
Of course you can.
Okay. I have an iPad, and I brought...
I mean, maybe I can't say
I brought the Bing app onto it, and it's amazing how much more, because I have Bing on my phone, that I also use Bing on the iPad. Because, you know, you wouldn't think Bing on the iPad, like, why would you use that? But because I'm kind of accustomed to what I get with that app, I'm looking for it on the other platform.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, you've mentioned Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Windows 8, and we talked about servers.
Yes.
There's one big one that happens to be near and dear to my heart that has changed so fundamentally that we haven't talked about yet, which is Windows Azure.
Yes.
Right? And with all the changes of the June release and, and bringing a whole bunch of different options to the cloud, which, by the way, if you guys are interested, a small plug for our show tomorrow that we're also doing with Mary Jo, Ruth and I will be doing an Align IT Manager Tech Talk talking about, you know, the full gamut of choice now with the cloud and private and public and so on and so forth. But where do you see with Windows Azure now the developer opportunity?
I think it was really good that Microsoft opened Azure up to become both infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, because so many developers said, yeah, I get all the cool things that I'm going to get if I do a PaaS app, platform as a service, but my customers want to start small and they want to start like hosting in a VM.
Right.
And Microsoft doesn't have that. So now that Microsoft is going to have that, I think it's going to help developers be able to say to customers, okay, you want to take a baby step? Let's start with this. If you like it, then we'll talk about taking the next step, you know, actually building an app from scratch that takes advantage of the full platform. But I think before, until Microsoft had that, people kind of said, yeah, Azure's okay, but I'm not ready to put all this time and effort and energy into getting apps built from scratch that are optimized for that platform. So I feel like it's opening up the opportunity to more people who before hadn't thought of Azure as an option.
Now, what are your thoughts, just because you keep mentioning open, but what about open in terms of open and interoperable from the platform? Are you finding that, again, developers you're talking to, your readers, are finding that it is actually delivering on the promise, or it's kind of just like marketecture?
I think the best thing that ever happened to Azure was Scott Guthrie joining the Azure team. Because
I happen to think so also.
that made people who had kind of said, oh, Azure, they're off in their own little world doing their own little thing. Well, you know, once you bring Scott Goo in, the red shirt, the whole thing,
it's like
everybody's like, oh, wait, maybe this is going to be a good platform. Because Scott Goo, it's like he's got the Midas touch, right?
Yes, he does.
So, you know, now we're starting, Microsoft's been very quiet about, like, what was Scott Goo going to really do when he came over to Azure? And now we see what he's doing. He's really taking all the things he has espoused on the open source side of the house, and he's bringing them to Azure. And I know there are some people in Microsoft who don't like this. They're a dwindling band of people, I think. But
old school way of thought.
Yeah, right. But there's more and more people who are like, oh, huh, I can code on PHP for Azure.
Or Java, hello.
Or Java, or I think Ruby now too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so especially a lot of the smaller startups I'm talking to who before had just discounted Azure and said, not interested. Now they're like, do you know how cool Azure is? Like, you can use it with, like, the LAMP stack, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you can. So
And you can provision an entire LAMP stack,
you
right?
You can.
Because you
can
do that infrastructure as a service and platform.
You can. So I think... people who before had just kind of said, no, it's Microsoft, it's the Microsoft stack, it's not interoperable, they don't care about working with other vendors. More and more, I'm getting pitched by startups who said, hey, we did this on Azure in PHP, do you want to talk to us? That's unheard of, right? Like, usually it's all like the people who do .NET. You know, you can kind of predict who those people are going to be. But now it's a different group of people. Like, a whole lot of companies I've never, ever talked to. I've never heard of them. And they,
that's awesome.
I know. They're like saying, hey, want to talk to us? We did an Azure thing and like we used, you know, Python, you know? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Python I've seen. I've also seen C++.
Yeah.
Crazy things. But again, hey, it's a server at the end of the day, right?
And so many startups, you know, they come in and their prerequisite is, do you have support for this language? And if you can't say yes right off the bat, then you're off the checklist. So I think it's opening it up to all these people who before may have not even looked at Microsoft.
Now, are you finding, so those are the people who didn't look at Microsoft. Now, let's talk about Microsoft developers that you know of. Are you hearing or feeling like that's, they're feeling like it's a natural evolution? I kind of get mixed feelings there too. It's almost like you would assume that because they're Microsoft developers that Azure would make sense. But
not always, right? I know. So I still talk to a lot of Microsoft developers who use Amazon. Because it's
gamut
been
there. Of choice.
Yeah, it's been there, and that's you know, because it seems like a cheaper and easier on ramp for a lot of those people. They're like, I'm just going to go the quick way, Amazon. And now, if Microsoft can kind of convince those people with things like the Azure website technology, that hey, you should give us another look because we're actually doing some things to make it way quicker to onboard your apps and, you know, get people on the platform. I think if they can kind of make that message stick, that they're going to maybe get people who are in the Microsoft ecosystem to give them another look.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, like these are definitely changing times in terms
they
of.
They are.
And again, it goes back to what you were saying before, is that now you have the web developer, you have the client developer, the desktop developer, you have the phone developer.
Right.
But there isn't really such a thing as a cloud developer per se, because they kind of go underneath all of it.
Yeah.
But also more so to your point before about stop pigeonholing yourself into one, because now you can do them all.
Yeah. Or at least you have a much easier way to start understanding what you need to know. You know, and because before it was like, it just was like you had different books for each one that had like no overlap, right?
True.
And people who developed stuff for the old Windows Mobile and Windows Phone, they were like, Azure, I don't know all that stuff over there, and it's too much for me to learn. But it feels like the idea that Microsoft's trying to convey is the learning curve's going down, code reuse is going up. So it's, you know, those two things in tandem are going to make it easier, at least in theory, for you to get on.
And I know that that's what Microsoft is saying, but from your readers, are they generally agreeing?
They're still, it's still early days.
Early.
Like they like this idea. They, like this idea is resonating, but they need to get the devices in hand, the SDK in hand. Like, let's see, you know, how real is this that they're saying this?
Makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, on the phone side, there's a lot of questions just about what's going to happen now because Microsoft's completely changing the underlying platform and not going to upgrade the old handsets to the new, except for the user interface. So a lot of people are saying, like, okay, are people going to keep developing apps for the Windows Phone 7 and do Windows Phone 8? Or are they going to be able to do apps that will run on both? You can, as long as you don't take advantage of certain things on the new platform. But every Windows Phone 7 app will run on Windows Phone 8. We know that. So I think there's just a lot of things they're trying to think through. Like, now what should I do? Should I only develop for Windows Phone 8?
Right.
Should I keep going and do Windows Phone 7 and 8? Because that's the install base. Even though it's not a giant install base, it's still a pretty sizable install base.
Well, I mean, and still every on-ramp is still, you know, you shouldn't really miss everything beforehand.
Yeah, right. And, you know, until the phone starts selling, it's like you got to keep going with Windows Phone 7, right, if you've already got a Windows Phone app. So.
By the way, actually, guys, for all of that stuff about the Windows Phone, what's different, what's not, remember that link I shared with you, the devs3.ms/WP8summit? That's what Joe and team all covered in there. So, one more thing, though.
Yeah.
One more new, hot off the press, Visual Studio 2012.
Yes. We got the release date for that.
That week. Was just announced this morning,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Jason Zander from Visual Studio tweeted, the RTM for Visual Studio 2012 is the same as Windows 8, which means by the first week of August. So that's good. And developers are excited because, you know, Visual Studio 2012 release candidate is pretty solid, but
it is.
You know, people still would rather have the final.
Of course.
Right. So we don't know exactly when it's going to be on MSDN and TechNet yet because they haven't released that, but it shouldn't be that long after the first week of August, I wouldn't think.
And then what's that doing to the developer now?
Adding another layer of confusion. No. No,
I love that look.
It's like, oh, yeah, I know. But you know, at the beginning of the show, you said there's so many new products and things. I mean, it's not only you guys as developers who have to know this, but we're having to learn it too. And, wow, it's a lot to keep up with.
Right? at the same time, all consolidating.
It is. That helps a lot. But, yeah, people are pretty interested in the new Visual Studio. You know, the user interface has become such a controversial topic. I mean, who knew Shades of Grey? Not the book, but...
I wouldn't even think of that.
The user interface. Who knew that could be so controversial, right? Like, how much color is there going to be? And, like, all caps, right? I know. All these things that the people who have been testing Visual Studio have been debating amongst themselves with much...
Healthy debate, though.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I got to say, kudos to the Visual Studio team for changing. When the developers who were testing it said, we hate this, they changed. Not every team at Microsoft does that, but Visual Studio did. So,
well, because Visual Studio is a fundamental tool to all of these developers that we keep talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly, right?
So right. You kind of have to...
You have to kind of go with the wind, right, on that, you would think.
And with all the new functionality and especially some of the really interesting things that the team did with Team Foundation Server.
Yep.
What's that doing to the developer? Is it truly confusing, or is it just that you're...
It's so much to kind of get your head around, I think, because you have to know about, all the new features in Visual Studio and what's coming with Team Foundation, and then what's coming in Windows 8, because so many things are changing at the same time. Like with Windows 7, you got some new developer tools around that time, but the platform stayed pretty much the same.
Yes.
Right. So you didn't have to learn a lot of new stuff all at once, I feel like. And this is like, okay, you're having to learn a lot of new things at once. Like having HTML support in Visual Studio in case you want to develop that way.
Yeah. Again, web developers, welcome to the team.
Right. And a lot of those guys have never used Visual Studio before. Right? The Microsoft web developers have, but the ones who are possibly coming in from other places, they may never have tried it before. Because they just didn't have to.
Yet now, again, with the theme of the show, developer opportunity. Now they have the ability to come over.
They could do that now. The one tool I'm going to be really... I'm curious what you think of this tool, actually. How much it's going to catch on is Light Switch.
I don't know. I don't know either. Like it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who like it, and other people I don't get it. Like, why?
I think it's a very simple and easy way to make applications that just work, relatively minimal effort, yet still have them be able to be secure, scalable, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just, again, it's just another option.
Choice, right.
Right? Or it could very well be if you have both.
Right.
Then you use one for one purpose, one for the other. There's nothing that says.
You can only choose one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's where I know some of the people that I've talked to kind of go back and forth about it, because there is this idea of one or the other.
Right, you pick one and you stick with one.
Right, or same thing with Azure. You're either in or you're out.
Right, that's true.
Right, or with Windows 8, you're either Metro or you're not.
Right.
But you could...
As
a developer, you could do both.
Right, you could.
Right? Again, choice.
Choice is good.
I think that's what it's all about.
It is.
And now, so Visual Studio 2012 is all about simplifying and becoming more productive.
Right.
Is that what you're hearing?
This is going to sound crazy, but the UI debate has so overshadowed almost everything else.
Fair enough.
I don't really hear people talking like, oh yeah, I love this feature, I hate this feature, I don't want this feature, I really wish they had this feature. It's more like, what do you think of all caps? I'm like, really? Is this really what's consuming people who are testing this? But that's what I keep hearing, so.
And that's why... Hi, we're here.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the developer opportunity and not on the caps.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're just going to get used to it.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
It's like everything, right? Like when we redesign our website at ZDNet, The first week is all, I hate this, I hate this, I can't find anything, I hate it, I hate it. Next week is, I really like the new design, this is so awesome, this is so much easier than the old way.
And see, but that's change, that is change.
I feel like it's like everything is like that. And at first everybody thinks it's going to be like this insurmountable wall, right? Like so many people are predicting Windows 8. Oh, well, you know, too different. People are just not going to like it. But then this week, you know, you have Jeff Atwood at Coding Horror saying, I'm betting my whole company on Windows 8.
There you go.
So it's like, okay, not everybody thinks any one way. And it's just a lot of times you hear the most vocal naysayers the loudest.
So then here's a moment to philosophize.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a word, but it works.
It is now.
That's all the case. You have the different camps here saying one thing, you have the different camps saying another. I'm a developer.
Yep.
I know I tell people, hey, don't listen to other people.
Right. Try
Go
it
in,
yourself.
Try
yep.
it. Agreed. Do it yourself.
Yep.
Make your own decision.
Yep.
But more importantly, give it some time.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Agree. It's you gotta see for yourself what you think works and doesn't, because no two people use their PC or their phone the same way.
Exactly.
Right? So what I hate about Windows 8 is something somebody else may love about Windows 8. Like the way I use my PC is I hook a mouse into it and I use the mouse almost 99% of the time.
Me too.
Most people, I can't say most. A lot of people never put a mouse on their PC and they laugh when they see me do it and they're like, what are you doing? You know?
I mean, I know I've memorized all the keyboard shortcuts, but I still like...
I have never used a keyboard shortcut.
Interesting.
And so, you know, there's people who are like, are you kidding? What? Really? And so I think everybody's going to find their comfort zone with things. I mean, Windows 8's coming. Whether you like it or don't like it, it's coming. Your choice is to just fight it and, you know, be like one of these guys who are still running Windows XP, you know?
Which, by the way, is coming to end of support.
2014.
April 2014.
Yes. Sorry.
It's just like, listen, it's time to
coming.
Upgrade.
Yeah, and if you don't want to upgrade, then you should know you're not getting any security fixes after that date. Okay.
Right.
So there you go.
Which there's going to be an article in the upcoming MSDN e-news about that, so check it out. But
So, you know, you can be that person. And I got to say, a lot of business users, because I talk to a lot of business users I'm talking to, have no interest in Windows 8 right now. They're like, I love Windows 7. Just starting to upgrade to it now.
I mean, the best upgrade path to Windows 8 is upgrading to Windows 7.
Right. And so they're like, you know what? I like Windows 7. It's working great for our company. I'm sticking with it. And I'll look at Windows 9. And they're okay with that, you know? So it just depends. And I think as a developer, though, you have to be ready for whichever way the market goes. And if Windows 8 really does take off and go wild, you got to be ready. And you can't just start getting ready then.
Okay.
Right?
Here's another philosophizing moment. Many developers will sort of associate themselves with the company that they work at.
Right.
And kind of forget the fact that they are, whether they're, you know, they pay their own payroll or whatever.
Yeah.
Every developer is their own company.
They
like, you're not attached to the one company.
No.
So, if you do exactly what you said, and you're like, okay, well, if my company says I'm only going to look at Windows 9.
Right.
And you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to only look at Windows 9.
Yeah.
What have you done to yourself as a developer?
Right.
You've effectively taken yourself out of the market.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, yes, company loyalty is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that you should move around. But at the same time, at least for me, one of the beauties of being a developer is that we always get to know all the tools that are available. Mm-hmm. And we're the ones that can make those recommendations.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Yep.
But in order to do that, we have to stay together with the market, which is what you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think we just all should be very realistic about how things are going to go. And, you know, it's too soon to know for sure how things are going to go. But I think Windows 8's going to, the initial uptake on that is going to be consumers, because that's where the stress has been to this point. Like, we want it to be a great consumer platform. It's almost like what Microsoft did with Windows Phone,
right.
I feel like. The first wave was all about the consumer. And now they're bringing the business features that people wanted, like, you know, the secure boot and the encryption. That's what's coming with Windows Phone 8. I think Windows 8 is going to be a very similar thing. It's like at the beginning, it's like, let's get the consumer experience right first. And let's make it something that consumers see in a store and go, oh, that's really cool, that's pretty. Then the next wave, which is going to be right behind it, is, okay, now some business guys are bringing in, you know, bring your own device to work. And so CEO just brought a Windows slate in here.
Yeah.
And now we got to suddenly put our HR app on this, and we can't just be learning Windows 8 now because it's different. It's very different. And I think if you just count it out and say businesses aren't going to go to Windows 8, which is what a lot of analysts are saying, if it does start taking off or if some devices sneak into your organization with it, you don't want to be caught flat-footed.
Right. And all it takes is one, really, and then it catches on. And
right.
You know, people like cool things.
Right.
Right. So actually, taking that and flipping it around, you could actually be that person.
Yeah.
Or that you, the developer, can actually be that person.
True.
Bring in the new device.
True.
And say, hey, look at this.
Yep. What do you guys think?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, technically, I know that by title, I am a developer evangelist. I get that. So I happen to get paid to do that.
Right.
But technically, everybody is. I know as soon as I installed Windows 8 on my laptop, my dearest wife came in, and she comes into my office. She's like, what's that? I'm like, well, that's Windows 8. She literally, I'm not even kidding you, kicked me off my chair and said, let me play with it. I come in an hour later, she's still playing with it. She was playing with fresh paint.
Oh, wow.
And if there's one thing that's going to sell you on the device is what you can do with your finger and what you can do with touch.
Yep. So you had a touch screen, or did you have it on a tablet?
No, it's actually, you guys can't see it, but it's on
that
touch screen.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So she actually had both. Mm-hmm. She's playing around with it in the living room, and all it took was an hour of playing around.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, for me as a developer, I would say, like, if it was that easy for her to get into it and for her to want to work with it, what does that mean for me?
Right.
It starts ringing, hey, apps.
Right. Right. And, the other thing, this is kind of a doomsday-ish comment, but I'm going to make it anyways, because you said we can be honest on the show.
Yes, honesty on this show is a must.
Okay, so if, worst case scenario, Windows 8 doesn't take off, Windows 8, I'm not going to say bombs, because it's not going to bomb. There's like millions of people who are going to buy it, and it's not going to bomb. But if it doesn't take off as well as people are hoping, Microsoft's not just going to throw the towel in. Like, I see so many people go, well, if it doesn't work, then they're just going to say, okay, forget it. Let's go back to Win32. No, they're not going to say that. In fact, they're going to hurry up, and they're going to do another version, just like Vista and Windows 7, right? And so, I mean, in probably a lot less time, I would think. So I think you got to realize, like, this WinRT thing, this is here, guys, and not going away. And I think a lot of people say, well, if it bombs, they're just going to go back to the old desktop. Nope, they're not. They're not going to do that. And I think you can't stick your head in the sand and say, you know what, if it bombs, oh well, then we're just all going to go like we're going now with Windows 7, and that's what, add the start button back. That's going to be great, right? No.
Of course you bring up the start button.
I had to bring that up. It's like VB6.
You know what, though? But I don't miss the start button.
You don't?
No. Do you find you miss the start button?
I
mean, it's still on my keyboard.
It's old habits die really hard.
Fair enough.
I'm just really dreading if and when my mom gets another PC. I've just gotten her used to the start button. And I can just see, like, where's that button thing? Where is that? It's gone! So I think that's going
to
be...
And interestingly enough, I said the same thing to my mother.
Yeah.
But I went at it from the different angle, and I said, hey, Mom, imagine a scenario where you don't actually have to use a mouse and you can use your finger. And she's like,
Bring it
now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so my mom hates the mouse, too.
Mouse, keyboard, whatever. Yep. Hey, check it out. We actually have some commentary on the chat,
okay.
So let's do it.
Nice.
With Silverlight, there was a push around design and designers. Then with Windows Phone and Windows 8, there seems to be a resurgence. Mm-hmm. A good thing, can Microsoft become design-focused versus its roots?
Yeah.
Interesting
question. That's a good question. Yeah. I think if you look at what the whole Metro story, right? Like Metro, it's funny, you say to somebody, what is Metro? And no two people will give you the same answer, right?
Right. Well, usually they go right to clothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I may have gotten that once or twice.
Once or twice. But, when Microsoft talks about how they developed the whole Metro idea, they even call it a philosophy. They don't call it a technology, right? So,
or in some instances, I've seen it as a language.
Right, or a language. And if you go back, I got to meet some of the people who developed that philosophy and language and whatever you want to call it. These guys came to Microsoft as designers from other companies like Nike, and like they a lot of them were not Microsoft guys. Like, they brought in these people who had a real sense of design and said, okay, let's see, Blue Sky, what do you guys think would be like really a great and awesome way to have a user interface?
Right.
that is so not the old Microsoft. It couldn't be more opposite from the old Microsoft, I feel like. Because in the old Microsoft, it was like, oh, yeah, I guess we need to have a user interface on this. Like, okay, let's put a button on it. And yeah, now it's awesome, right?
Maybe.
And now you see, I mean, when you see the Microsoft ERP team worrying about what an app is going to look like Metro style, this is a whole new world, I feel like, at Microsoft.
Anything's possible.
I know. So I think it really has changed. And I think now design has become way less of an afterthought at Microsoft than something that's almost the first thing they think about.
And what I love, too, is that it's bringing other designers along to also think
it
the
is.
Same way.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, it used to be, hey, we'll build this app,
yeah,
and then we'll call in the designers
exactly.
afterwards. And it's almost like it's the same thing as building a website frame and bringing the copywriters in afterwards,
it
when
is.
Really it should be the other way
it
around.
It should, right.
And so you're finding that as well, is that even designers are coming in and saying, hey, cool.
It's so what's so weird about this whole push to Metro across Microsoft, even in their own websites, everywhere, you know, is now when something gets a little bit of a Metro look and feel, like you start seeing, you know, the kind of bolder type and the more white space, and people are like, is that Metro style? Is that a real Metro style app? Or is that just Metro-ish? I'm like, okay. Well, it's going to be some kind of a consistent design, no matter what, even if it's not true Metro style, you know. Which by which I mean, here's how I distinguish it, and I don't know if Microsoft does this too, but to me, something is a Metro style app if it uses the WinRT APIs.
Interesting.
And if it doesn't use the WinRT APIs, like the next version of Office, I believe, as far as I've been told from my sources, it's Metro-ish. Office 2013, you know, Metro-ish. It looks like Metro style, but it's not actually developed to the Windows RT framework.
And it's interesting, too, that you say that, because that's purely like a developer's view of it. It's like, go straight to the API.
Right.
I'm interested to see what designers would say about what's Metro and what Metro not. Okay, let's see. Next question here we have. What would push you over the fence on Windows 8? Interesting.
To really get me convinced on it, I guess.
Interesting.
I think if it were easier to use with my mouse, I would be happier.
Interesting.
But, you know, again, this is my own opinion, and there are some other people who share that opinion, but there are other people who say, why are you even using it with a mouse? Like, if you have a really great touch driver in your machine, you won't even need a mouse anymore. Like, you won't care. You'll be able to use a keyboard and learn some shortcuts, and you'll be all good. For me, because, again, for me, old habits die really hard. I am just so used to using the mouse that when I try to use it with the way Windows 8 has you, you know, pull things in from the side and all, it's a little awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I can say it took me a little bit to get used to it. But once you're used to it, again, you said, as long as you kick that habit.
You gotta have a learning curve. I mean, I think it's just, everyone should be realistic there's going to be a learning curve. Whether you're a consumer, a business user, whatever your age, whatever your profession, it's not just going to be like you sit in front of it and it's so intuitive that you just know. I mean, there's talk Microsoft could do something with tutorials, you know, to try to make it easier for people to figure out how to make it work. But we don't know yet if that's going to happen.
Interesting. Okay, and then we had one last question. Let's see where we go. Mary Jo, what are you the most excited about between getting Surface or Windows Phone 8 device?
Oh, I know. I'm excited
about
both.
Why can't it be?
Can I
get
both?
You Archie coder. Why can't it be both?
So I'm a Windows Phone user now. I'm one of the 3%, as I always say.
There we go. Proud of it, obviously.
Proud of it. And you know, a lot of people say, of course you're using Windows Phone. You read about Microsoft. You have to use it, right?
When we were in Vancouver, you were on an iPhone.
No, I wasn't. I've never had an iPhone.
BlackBerry?
No.
I remember you saying that you were just starting up on your Windows
Phone. I was using an old feature phone. Yep, I was. You know why?
Who invited her to the show?
You know why? Because I had a great keyboard.
Interesting.
And so.
Interesting.
Microsoft loaned me a Windows Phone, and you know there was no guarantee that I was going to go out with my own money and buy one because we aren't allowed for ethical reasons to keep products that were loaned from different companies, which is a great policy. And so I tried Windows Phone, and I'm like, wow, I love this phone. I went to my local Verizon store in New York, and I. Did I tell you that story about trying to buy one?
No, I don't think you did.
So I went to my Verizon store, and this was right after Windows Phone had come out, maybe 2 months after, and I walked in, and this is a huge Verizon store in the middle of Manhattan, right?
So I know the one.
I said to the guy, I want to buy a Windows Phone, and the guy's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, yeah, I do, actually. And he's like, no, you want an iPhone. And I'm like, I don't. I would like to buy a Windows Phone. And I finally had to threaten to leave the store.
Really?
Before he would sell it to me. And he goes, I bet you work for Microsoft. I'm like, I don't work for Microsoft. So then I take it out of the box in the store, and I turn it on, and like all the sales guys suddenly come around me, and they're like, that's actually a really nice phone. And I'm like, why don't you guys sell it? It's your job, right? So I have been a loyal Windows Phone user and advocate, and I demo it to people even, you know. And that's not true of every product that Microsoft makes. Like I said, I have an iPad because I haven't found any tablets from Microsoft that I like, any Windows tablets yet. So, you know, I'm really interested in Windows Phone 8, especially if we get a Nokia device on Verizon. We only have one choice on Verizon in the United States. It's an HTC Trophy. It's a really good phone, but I want the Nokia phone.
So I guess I should hide
mine. I saw yours. I'm like, maybe we'll just take that. But you know, Surface, the one really big question I have about the Surface is the battery life. If the battery life is good, and for me, good means 8 hours. Okay. 8 hours or more, I will probably get
you
a Surface.
You do 8 hours of work straight?
I know. Well, you know.
Kidding. It's getting to that time.
I'm
where,
a
you know,
mobile
it's lunch.
Professional.
There you go.
So yeah, you know, like I go to a Microsoft show, and I don't want to be like trying to run and find outlets everywhere, right? I want to have battery
true.
All day.
Very true.
So you know, if I can get 8 hours, I will get a Surface. If I cannot get 8 hours, I may not get a Surface.
Interesting, and leave it like that on a cliffhanger. Because believe it or not, I cannot believe how quickly this hour went. Because obviously, we can talk for hours. just because it's all new and exciting
it is.
And stuff.
A lot of good stuff to talk about.
By the way, I love how in the chat there, when we were talking about the Windows XP support, boom, 635 days. Not that you're counting.
Not that anybody's counting. Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, jokes aside.
Right.
As much as people say end of XP isn't important to a developer, let's just remind you guys, you have to test all your applications on Windows 7, so now would be a good time
That's
to start.
That's a really good point.
On that note, Mary Jo, thank you very much for joining us. By the way, guys, again, if you have any additional questions for Mary Jo, make sure to post them into the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn. I don't know if you're a member, but you're more than welcome to become a member.
Even though I'm not a Canadian?
Yeah, but you're an honorary Canadian.
Okay.
How's that? You're talking to a Canadian crowd, and if they have questions.
All right.
But either way, I'll make sure that Mary Jo gets your questions and answers them for you. With that, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next month. We're going to go next month back to our usual time, which is, in fact, the first Wednesday. This month, we made an exception because, well, aww, we couldn't not have Mary Jo here.
Thanks.
Anyway, thanks again, and we'll see you next month.